the Word of God in the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, in which one of the major names of God is revealed to Abraham. It's the name Jehovah Jireh. Jireh, the Lord will provide. Genesis chapter 22, and we read from the first verse. And after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, Here am I. God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Notice how God presses home the value of this child. And according to scholars, Isaac was now around 18 years of age. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. It is, in fact, the famous hill in Jerusalem where the lovely mosque stands today. Mount Moriah was the place where Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac. Later on in time, it became the threshing floor of a Canaanite farmer called Araunah, and it was bought from Araunah by David. David handed it on to Solomon, his son, and on the site, Solomon built his temple. And that temple was destroyed, and the second temple of Zerubbabel was built on the site. That temple was destroyed, and the third temple of Herod was built on the site. That temple was destroyed, and an Arab mosque stands on the site today. And in fact, even though you are not a Muslim, you can take off your shoes and go into the mosque. And there in the middle of the floor of the mosque, under the golden dome, you will see a great piece of rock sticking through the floor. And that is the summit of Mount Moriah, where Isaac was to be sacrificed. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw this place afar off. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And notice what the Hebrew says. And we will come again to you after I have killed him. We will come again to you. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. What an obedient boy he was. Notice this 18-year-old child never questioned what his father was doing. Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Notice how submissive this young man is. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this very day, on the mount of the Lord, that's on Mount Moriah, it shall be provided. And in the scriptures of the New Testament, there are two places where comment is passed on that incident. First of all, in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and verse 16. That is why salvation depends on faith. In order that the promise of salvation may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's descendants, not only to the Jews, the adherents of the law, but also to Gentiles who share the faith of Abraham. For Abraham is the father of us all, Jews and Gentiles who trust in Christ. As it is written, "I have made you, Abraham, the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom Abraham believed, the God who gives life to the dead. Now that's a commentary on Mount Moriah. Because Abraham believed that if he had slain Isaac, God would have raised him again from the dead, and the two of them would have gone back to the men. We will come again. Abraham believed in a resurrection God. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, "So shall your descendants be." Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And the second commentary on the resurrection God is found in Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the roster of the heroes of faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he, who had received the promises, was ready to offer up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your descendants be named." Abraham considered that God was able to raise men even from the dead. And hence, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. In our series of morning studies on the names of God in the Old Testament, we come this morning to what is probably one of the most familiar names, the name Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. In Genesis chapter 22 and verses 7 and 8, we read these words. Isaac said, "Father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will himself provide a lamb for the burnt offering." And later on at verse 14 in the chapter, "And so Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Now there's no doubt that Genesis chapter 22 marks a great crisis in Abraham's life. And there cannot be much doubt that this chapter really represents the climax and the apex of Abraham's spiritual development as a man of faith. And it was here, in the middle of all his pain and his anguish and his heart searching and his bewilderment at the prospect of having to offer up his only son Isaac, it was in the middle of all this pain that the new name of God was revealed to him, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And I think it's important to see what has led up to this point of crisis and testing in Abraham's life. And there are, in fact, in this chapter, two challenges. And they are two challenges which God issued to Abraham, and they are challenges which God issues to us this morning. And the first is the challenge to the obedience of faith. And that is the language of the New Testament when the appeal of the gospel comes to us. It comes as a challenge to the obedience of faith. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul tells us that he has received grace from God and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of Christ's name amongst all nations. And there is the phrase, the obedience of faith. And you find it later on in Romans, in chapter 6 and verse 17, where Paul thanks God that when the gospel of Christ came to Rome, it was heard by these men and women. And Paul says, you obeyed from the heart that standard of teaching to which you had been committed. In other words, the gospel of Jesus was preached to them in Rome. But they didn't just believe in Jesus. They obeyed from the heart the standard of teaching. They had been handed over, the Greek says, to a message, and they obeyed from their hearts the message that they heard. There is an obedience of faith. And it was to this that God challenged Abraham. And it is to this that God challenges us this morning. You see, the Bible does not recognize the separation of faith and obedience. A man who says, oh, but I trust in Christ, but who by his life shows that he doesn't obey Christ, is not a man of faith at all. You see, he has driven a wedge between his trust in Christ, as he calls it, and obedience to Christ. And what the man calls his faith is more than likely to be an illusion, or an emotional experience, or a fantasy of his imagination. There is an obedience in faith, and faith obeys the word of Christ. And what paves the way for Abraham's obedience in Genesis chapter 22, in his willingness to offer up Isaac, what paves the way for this challenge is this, that although there had been obedience in Abraham's life up to this point, it was a partial obedience. And there is such a spiritual reality as partial obedience. Let me just show you this. If you can think back to God's first call to Abraham when he was still a pagan in Ur of the Chaldees, and God said to him, I want you to leave your home, and I want you to leave your father's kindred, and I want you to set out for a land, and I'll give you this land if you follow me. And so Abraham believed God, and he set out in the obedience of faith. But the trouble was, he took all his relatives with him. God said, leave your relatives and follow me. So he followed God, but he took his relatives. And if you know the story, they moved a few miles up the river Euphrates, and then they all got stuck at a place called Haran. And Abraham was stuck with God at Haran, and did not, in fact, move off until his father had died. It was only a partial obedience. And you'll recall that Jesus once met a young man who, like Abraham, was saddled with his relatives. Jesus said, come, follow me. Give it all up and follow me. But the young man said, well, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, of course, it was an honorable thing for a Jewish boy to attend to the last rites for his father. But the point is, his father wasn't dead. His father was still alive. And the boy wanted a few more years with his relatives before he gave absolute obedience to Jesus. And Jesus turned away sadly from the boy, and he said, "Anyone who loves father and mother and sister and brother more than he loves me is not worthy of me and cannot be my disciple." How many Christians do I know who are bogged down with Jesus? They're stuck with Jesus. They're hampered and hindered in their spiritual growth in Christ because they're far too involved with their own relatives and their families, sometimes with relatives and families who have very little time for Jesus and the gospel. Abraham said, "All right, I'll follow you, God, but I'll take my relatives with me." And the problem showed itself again when Abraham came to the land. You know how he moved up what is called the Fertile Crescent, up the river Tigris and Euphrates, up to Damascus, down through the Holy Land. And he reached the Holy Land, and he should have stopped. That was his destination. That was his destiny. It was his goal. What happened? Well, he obeyed God and reached the land, but he rocketed right through the land, traveling down to the magnetic south. And he landed in Egypt and in serious trouble with Pharaoh. I've often wondered why Abraham rocketed through the land and went to Egypt. I'll tell you why. It was because Egypt was more like his home in Babylon than Palestine. It was a great empire. Riches, gold, wealth, commerce. That's what Babylon was like. It's what Egypt was like. So he obeyed God partially. But Babylon was still in his heart. His obedience was qualified. My Christian friend, have you ever heard the voice of God saying to you, "This is the way I want you to go. I would like you to do this for me. I'd like you to go here for me. I would like you to stop that for me." You ever heard the voice of God saying that? And have you ever heard that other voice inside you saying, "Well, yes, I will do it, but..." "Yes, I will go, but..." "Oh, yes, I will stop that, but..." Is that your problem today? You trust God, you obey God, but your obedience is qualified. Another instance, take the promised son, the child of the covenant. God had sworn that a boy would be born, and Abraham was sure that Ishmael, the boy born to Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, Abraham was sure that was the lad. You know these great words, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. The father of the Arabs. The boy who brought the Arabs into the world. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Well, Abraham believed God. He was convinced and persuaded there would be a boy. But he thought Ishmael was the seed of promise. His obedience was qualified. I think I once told you the story of Tom Allen, one of the leaders of the Tell Scotland movement, some 30 years ago, and minister of St. George's Tron in Glasgow. And in his early manhood, Tom Allen felt called by God to full-time service, and especially to China, to serve with the China Inland Mission. But he set aside that particular call to go to China, and he entered the ministry at home in Scotland. And in due time he married and settled down and made a great success of St. George's Tron, right in the middle of Glasgow, which at that time was ripe for closure. It was on its last legs, because no one was living in the area at that time. And you can read about Tom Allen's work in his well-known book, The Face of My Parish, How to Rejuvenate a Dead Parish Situation, an inner city parish with no people living in it. And he established a fine work of God, and in due season Billy Graham came, and the Tell Scotland crusade got underway, and a chap called Tom Swanston came to Christ. And one day Tom Allen's wife confessed to her husband in private that when she was a young lass, the Lord had spoken to her and told her to go into full-time service and to go to China and serve Christ with the China Inland Mission. But she'd set that aside. And although they were greatly blessed by God in their gospel work in Glasgow, Tom Allen and his wife both confessed that they were living in God's second best because of partial obedience. And I often wonder what would have happened in China if they had both gone. It's the glory of Genesis 22 that Abraham set behind him all his partial obedience. And without question and without murmur and without a word of protest, entered into the obedience of faith. God said, Abraham, he said, here am I. God said, take the boy, offer him up. He went ahead. That was the challenge to which he rose. There's an old hymn in the Redemption Book, which is a hymn that I've always been fond of and found very moving in this connection of obedience of faith. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest friend to me. For I remember Calvary. Oh, I delight in His command. Love to be led by His dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me. Hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Onward I go, nor doubt nor fear, happy with Christ, my Savior dear, knowing someday that I shall see Jesus, my friend of Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest friend to me. For I remember Calvary. First challenge is the challenge to the obedience of faith. The second challenge issued to Abraham and thrown out to us today is the challenge to throw away your future. Can you see the absurdity of what God asked him to do? He only had one son. Your son, says God. Your only son, whom you love. And the promise of God was that out of the loins of Abraham would come a nation like the stars of the heaven and like the sand of the sea for number. And it was only through that boy that such a nation could come. And God said, slay him. And in that command, the Lord asked Abraham to throw away his future. Trust me, he said. Kill the boy, but trust me. And that's an authentic part of the challenge of the gospel. You see, we are not allowed to trust in Jesus and keep the rest of our lives to ourselves. Wherever the word of God is preached, Jesus looks into your eyes as Jesus is looking into your eyes this morning. And he says, trust me. Throw away your future. Trust me. Give me your life. I am the potter. You are the clay. Give me your life. Give up yourself, your little hopes and your little ambitions and your little dreams. Throw away your future and trust me. And that's what Abraham did in his willingness to slay the boy. He was ready to do it, knowing that when the boy died, God would raise him from the dead. We will come again to you. There's a hymn which says, the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Abraham trusted with the obedience of faith. And it's to that that Christ invites you today. Abraham trusted God and threw away his future. And it's to that that Christ invites you today. and it was to this new Abraham, this new man, that God revealed his new name, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I'm sure that if we were all given sheets of paper and pencils today, we could write down the heading Jehovah Jireh and then make a list of the things which God has provided for us. I was hungry and God provided me with food. I was lonely and God provided me with friends. I was unemployed and God provided me with work. I was weak and God provided me with strength. David says in Psalm 111, "Good and gracious is the Lord. He provides food for those who fear him." And you could even add to the list some more valuable things. Philippians 4, "My God shall supply all your needs out of his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 10, "No temptation overtakes you but such as is common to man, and God will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape." 2 Corinthians 9, "God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance." 2 Peter 1, "The end of the road, God is able to provide for us an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ." God provides food, friends, work, strength. He supplies all your needs. When you're tempted, he provides a way of escape. But none of these is true if one provision is not true. God provides us with a lamb on whom to lay our sins. "Here is the wood," said Isaac. "Here is the fire, but where is the lamb?" Abraham said, "God will himself provide a lamb for the sacrifice. And what good is it if you have been provided with food and friends and work and strength and all the natural blessings of this world if you have not yet laid your hands on Christ and made him the sin-bearing Lamb of God, your very own? And if that's true, and of course I believe it is true, that God has provided a lamb, it is the sin above all other sins to lay your sins anywhere else other than on him. Because in fact, your sins can only be in one of two places. They are either on the Lamb whom God has provided, or they are on yourself. Do you know the story of Moody when he was preaching on Isaiah 53? And he came to the words, "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Moody took his Bible and said, your sins can only be in one of two places. They are either on yourself, in which case you will live and die a lost soul, or they are on Christ. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Enter today into the obedience of faith. Come to Christ and throw away your future and lay your sins on God's provision. The Lord has provided. Jehovah Jireh. Lay your sins on the sinless Lamb of God. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the preaching of his word.